you're not a bad person if you decline to be with somebody that has an STI. It just means you're not comfortable. Are you informed? Are you misinformed? Are you making the decision with the right information? Maybe not. Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Pretty Uncomfortable podcast. I am Tara V, your slightly unpredictable when she's going to show up host, but hopefully still your favorite host. Today, I am coming in with one of my favorite topics, one that makes you incredibly uncomfortable. What is it you say? Herpes. Oh, herpes. Herpes, herpes, herpes. The gift that keeps on giving, right? I love talking about herpes. I have a bunch of episodes regarding the topic, which I will list in my show notes because they cover a whole bunch of different areas of this that just nobody talks about. And I get it. I get it. It's uncomfortable and it's just not talked about, which means it's then more not talked about, which is why you have me. So today I was inspired for this episode because I had a disclosure that did not go the way I wanted, and it left me feeling some feels. And I thought it was important to talk about that because when you're doing your research, when you get a new diagnosis, you obviously educate yourself a ton, and you know, you learn to feel, I don't know if empowered is the right word, for some people absolutely, you learn to be kind of empowered by your status, and you can stand strong behind it, and you're like, you know what, I know what it is, it is what it is, I can't change it, it's not a big deal, and you're not affected by it, and you hold this very like positive standpoint surrounding it, and this positive outlook, and I guess like the point of the episode maybe is to understand, like, if you have a diagnosis of any kind of STI and you are like, you know what, I'm still badass, like I know that, to realize that you can still feel like a level of ick surrounding it. You can have those two contrasting feelings at the same time. I find that I struggle with it because online, I sit here and I say, yeah, I have herpes. What? Big deal. So what? Like, take it or leave it. It is what it is. I know it's not a big deal. I educated myself once I found out I had to, right? And it really isn't a big deal. But that doesn't mean if you have a disclosure and your partner makes the decision to not be intimate with you, it doesn't mean that doesn't hurt, and it doesn't mean that that's not going to stir some stuff up in you that can maybe make you feel confused. So I thought we could explore that confusion together because I'm sitting in it right now. I have been dating more recently. I'm trying to kind of get back out there. I have a couple tried and true friends with benefits, but you know, I really want a relationship at some point, like a real relationship. So I'm trying to get out there more, date more. And I have seen somebody a few times. It's actually the longest I have ever gone without sleeping with somebody. And we had a date, and it was like finally the date of you know, we're going to go out for dinner and come back to my place and watch a movie, which we all know what the movie means. So we were going to watch a movie. And so I had not disclosed to him yet. I have played with my disclosures in numerous different ways throughout my years of having a positive status. And when I was dating insanely casually and was really just meeting people simply to have a sexual relationship, I would tell them before I even met them. And as I started changing the way I was dating, I was pushed really hard, especially by my therapist, to wait and not disclose so soon. And I struggled with that, and I didn't want to. I feel like I don't give my authentic self when I haven't disclosed yet. I feel like I'm hiding something from the person, and it makes it very hard for me to kind of give myself in any sense of the word. I feel I'm very reserved. I hold back a lot more. I think there's a part of me that I'm kind of like, I don't want to put this energy in, because what if when I finally tell them, they don't want to be with me? Which is just a shitty attitude on my end to then be like, well, then I don't want to give them any part of me. But that's how I have felt. And it's interesting that I felt this way, because I do have to say, honestly, for as long as I have had this and for as long as I have dated, it is a rarity that I disclose to somebody and they make the decision to not be with me. It's incredibly rare. It doesn't happen often. Usually I get very good responses, and a lot of times people are like, all right, big deal. So I don't have anything to reinforce this feeling. I haven't had these horrible experiences where I'm like, see, that's why I don't do it. But I've been trying to get better and listen to the advice of lovely Wendy, who says, let them know you before you disclose, because sometimes it's very easy to hear something and go, oh, no, when it's this impersonal, like you don't even know the person yet, versus when you know the person and you have spent time with them and then they disclose this positive status to you, it almost helps fight that stigma. Because if you're not educated and if all you have got to work on is what you have heard jokes about on like TV or movies, or like the massive failures in our sex health classes in the States, which is like nothing, right? It's all scare tactic. And so it can actually help fight the stigma a bit if you hold off on telling somebody, they get to know you and they're like, oh, wait a minute. I always had this image in my head of what a person with herpes would look like. Wait, this is just like an everyday, everyman kind of thing. It can change the way a person approaches the situation. So I have been working on holding off and telling people. This is the longest I have gone, and I told him. I always make the decision to tell via text. I think I've only told two people in person. I've never told anybody like over the phone. I usually will do text because I feel like it can be a bombshell for a person, right? As much as we may know, it's not a big deal. A lot of people don't realize that. So when you drop that on somebody, it can take them by surprise. I don't want anybody to ever feel obligated when I am sitting right in front of them to muster up some sort of response. I want them to feel whatever they have to feel. And if that means they look at their phone, they see the message and they're like, oh, fuck no. They throw their phone down. They wait a minute and start processing and then go, wait a minute, this isn't a big deal. Or, you know, they look at the news and go, oh, I don't know. I want them to have the freedom to have whatever reaction they're going to have without me in their face. And so I texted him and I said, hey, you know, listen, since you're going to be coming to my place, you know, I would like to be transparent with you. And so I think it's time that I let you know this thing. And he had a beautiful response. Honestly, probably in the top two favorite responses I have ever gotten. Beautiful. It was wonderful. You know, he admitted he wasn't very educated on it, but I could tell him more about it when we saw each other and it wasn't a deal breaker. And he was still really excited to see me and blah, 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 blah. Okay, fast forward to the next day, the date, and I don't hear from him. And I thought, well, this is interesting. I already know what is going on. I know what's going on. I finally hear from him way towards the end of the day, and he's like, hey, you know, I want to talk to you. Can we speak? Would you mind calling me? Which I immediately knew. And I'm going to be very honest. I got on that phone call, and I feel like it was very cold. Like I had shut down. I was feeling the quote unquote rejection, which we are going to explore that word later on. I was feeling that rejection before he even said anything. And I was angry. I was disappointed. I was bummed out. I was sad. And so I started the conversation very cold and was kind of like, shut up, stop talking. Like, I don't need this chit chat. Say what you need to say. And it ended up being a very productive conversation, and, you know, he was very honest. He just wasn't comfortable. He's not educated, and after he had texted me, as the night went on, he decided to have Google educate him. And you guys, Google is such a dangerous place to learn about many STIs, because a lot of times, like,
You're going to see the worst of the worst. Like, God forbid you Google images. It's so bad. And so you tend to be faced with a lot of the scare tactic stuff before you dive into a lot of the facts and realize, wow, this is really common. Holy shit, how many people have this? Like, what? Which, let's insert right here. According to World Health Organization, when you combine HSV-1 and HSV-2, they are both herpes. Just one is considered oral herpes, the other is considered genital. Combined HSV-1 and HSV-2, it's nearly 80% of the world's population, you guys. 80% has one form of the herpes virus. That is insane. As well as when you think about how many people get cold sores and they're very nonchalant and just like, oh man, I got this bummer of a cold sore. Yo, a cold sore is HSV-1. Just a heads up. What's HSV-1? Oral herpes. It is herpes. Cold sores is herpes. Herpes is cold sores. I feel like sometimes I want to do a whole episode where I just chant that. So we got a little detour there. Back to my story. So once you go deeper into the internet, you start learning these things. And when you start kind of going into social media, there are so many amazing accounts out there that are very inspiring, very educational. There are amazing pages that educate you in a way that is like just these little bite-sized pieces that are very easy to digest and understand and quickly realize this isn't a big deal and I'm not a bad person that I have this and it's not scary that somebody else has this. But you gotta do some digging to get there. So when you just do your initial search, oh my God, shit. Ugh, no, no. And I'm gonna be very honest with you. I was not educated on this at all. So prior to my diagnosis, I have to tell you, if I was presented with a partner and they brought this information to me and said, hey, listen, I would like you to know that I have this virus, I don't know how I would have reacted. And if I'm being very, very honest with myself, I think it is a fair assumption to say that I don't know if I would have moved forward with a partner because of the misinformation I had and because I wasn't educated. It was a very scary thing when I was diagnosed. I was terrified and I was like, nobody's ever going to want me. And I didn't know what this diagnosis looked like just physically for my body. My point being, it is not a scary thing and is not like this physical like atrocity. But Google might have you thinking otherwise. So he went on Google and of course it scared him. And we really had a nice conversation, but it brought up feelings for me. And it also just kind of brought up some stuff that I want to make sure you remember. And I think even if you are not sitting here listening to this as somebody that has a positive status, it is still so important to hear these things. And one of the most important things when you are disclosing to a person is they should be disclosing to you as well. This should be an open conversation. You can't just assume that your partner doesn't have an STI. And it can't be a situation where suddenly like, oh, well, this person came to me with their positive status. And so the spotlight is on them. And we need to focus on this thing and forget about me. Mm-mm. No, no. We need to remember that you're there too. When were you tested last? Do you know your status? And it is shocking to me. It shouldn't be at this point, but it is shocking to me. Every partner I've ever asked, minus I think one, when I questioned them on their status and when was the last time they've been tested, they couldn't tell me. And in this conversation I had with this man, we were talking and, you know, I said, I would love to at least educate you a little bit if you were okay with this. I kind of get on a soapbox sometimes. You know, please understand I am not saying any of this in a way to try and convince you because I don't ever want a partner that I need to convince. I don't ever want a partner that has even a fraction of doubt of if they want to be with me or if there's a slight bit of discomfort, then I don't want you. I don't want you to convince yourself to be with me. So, you know, I'm not saying these things as a way of convincing, but I think it's important when we have an opportunity to educate. And so one of the first things I asked him was, when's the last time you've been tested? And he made a comment about, you know, oh, I haven't, but
you know, it's not like I go around sleeping with a lot of people. No, that doesn't matter. You sleep with one person, you should get tested. Fun fact, my herpes diagnosis, the person that I got it from, I know exactly who I got it from, that was the very first person I slept with after my divorce. So I hadn't had sex, number one, in years. I had been with the same partner for 18 years prior. The very first person I slept with is how I ended up getting it. So getting an STI has nothing to do with being promiscuous. It doesn't mean you've had a ton of partners. Does having a lot of partners increase your risk? Absolutely. But it is not the definer of this is who's going to get it. Anybody can get it. And so when I said to him, you know, it doesn't matter how many people you've slept with. If you're sleeping with people, you should get tested. And, you know, he sat there and really thought about it. And he was like, you are right. I need to go get tested. And I said, absolutely you do. Because I'm the safe bet here. Because I get tested regularly. I actually was just tested last week. I get tested regularly. I usually go every 4 months. I know my status. I know my body. And because I know I have herpes, I'm very attuned to my body. And so if something feels off, I can abstain. So you have this very educated, informed partner going with another partner that has no information on their own health. On their own health. That's insane to me how many people don't check in with themselves, but are very quick to want to turn the spotlight on you when you say, hey, I have this thing. And suddenly you're the issue, you're the problem. So when you're disclosing, always remember that there's two of you sitting there and this isn't all about you. You need to know your partner's status as well. And I just think a lot of people miss the mark with that and forget that. It is important to understand that it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling if your partner says, like, I don't think I want to mess with this. I have a terrible habit of calling it a rejection, and it should never be called a rejection because you're not being rejected. This person is simply making a decision about their own health and saying, I don't think I want to take this risk. I don't think I want to do this thing. They're making a decision. It's not the same as a rejection. And that's something I have to learn. And it's something I hope you can learn and understand. You're not being rejected. They're just making a decision. I was about to say they're making an informed decision, and actually they probably are not, which is why they're probably saying no if they've said no, because most people know nothing about herpes. And so they therefore cannot make an informed decision. They are making a misinformed decision of the scary things they've heard online and through, you know, media and whatever. So it's okay to feel sad if somebody decides not to be with you. And it is okay to still know that you're badass with herpes. And it's conflicting. And I struggle. I don't deal with this very often. And honestly, this is only the second person that has declined, so to speak, that I actually was very sad about. I've only had two people I've disclosed to that I was like, you know, I can't wait for this physical interaction. And when I disclosed, this is only the second time I've had this happen where he wasn't comfortable with it. I will say the first person that initially was not comfortable with it, we continued speaking, we continued navigating, and we have some fire sex now. Like, it's amazing. He originally was like, no, thank you. And it was confusing, I think, for him, because he was like, I want to be with you, but I'm nervous. And it just took him being educated. We became more comfortable, and it was this slow progress. And, you know, again, it's great now. I don't go through this often, but it does leave me with a sense of, I think it brings the stigma up. And like, I feel like I'm wearing the stigma as a shirt, like the scarlet letter A. And suddenly I'm feeling bad about myself, and I'm just devouring the stigma and eating it up and letting it give me a bellyache. And I'm feeling kind of dirty, I think, which is not valid at all. Understand that. You are not fucking dirty. these are the feelings that get stirred up in me. And I'm sharing it because I just want to make sure you understand, like, I think it's normal to feel that, I think. No one talks about it, so I don't know. So again, that's why I'm here talking about it. But it's confusing because it makes me feel kind of ick and bad about myself and just feeling the stigma. And I have to remind myself, like, no, fuck that. Like, I've had great experiences. Having herpes does not define me. It doesn't interrupt my life. Like, I literally forget I have it. And again, very, very rarely does it actually interrupt my sexual life. It very rarely causes a problem. It very rarely makes me lose a partner that I was anxious to have. It doesn't happen often, but when it does, it stings. And it's okay that it stings. But I think it's also a very important thing to not hold anger for the person if they choose not to be with you, which can be hard. Like I said, I was bitter at the start of that phone call. I was bitter. I wanted to be mean. It can be easy to get angry. I think it's important, again, to understand that we all have a right to make a decision. And you're not a bad person if you decline to be with somebody that has an STI. It just means you're not comfortable. Are you informed? Are you misinformed? Are you making the decision with the right information? Maybe not. The only time I would be upset would be, I think, if somebody handled it poorly and used words that made me uncomfortable. Maybe I've never had that experience. I did have one man once say, you know, I've been tested and I'm clean. And I can tell you, like, the vocabulary of sexual health, clean and dirty, is just get those words out, because it implies that if you do have an STI, you're dirty. You could get an STI like the very first time you ever have sex. You could have the most pure vanilla sex in the whole world and walk away with an STI. So it has nothing to do with clean and dirty. And I was kind of offended by that statement. But otherwise, I've never had somebody handle it in a way that they were rude. Everyone's been very respectful. And so I can't be angry at you for making your choice. It's your decision. You have the right to decide however you want. And so I try and give people a lot of grace with the knowledge that they probably don't have the right knowledge. And I can't be mad at them for that. Do I wish they would try to educate themselves more? Yeah, of course. But I can give so much grace in that aspect. Meanwhile, my friends, and maybe you have people like this as well, are of the mindset of, like, well, fuck them. You're better off without them then. Like, you don't need somebody like that. You'll hear that a lot. And I don't think that that is fair to put that on the person that made a decision on their own personal health. We all have that right. And so just don't be mad at them. You can be mad if they handle it poorly. You can be mad if they hurt your feelings somehow. But you would want to be given the same choice. And you've got to respect that. So that's the story of my most recent herpes experience that goes against what I usually have, which is very positive experiences. And, you know, I think I'm not going to call this one a negative. It is a disappointment, because I really did want to explore with this person. And there was some really nice chemistry, I'm not going to lie. And so, you know, there's a disappointment there. But I've also learned you never know what's going to happen. You know, will we ever speak again? I don't know. He explored that idea and I left it very open of, like, I think you just need to sit with this for a while and not commit to speaking to me at all. You know, you need to, like, really sit in this and see how you feel. Right now you're not comfortable. So just be okay with not being comfortable. I don't know. We might speak again. We might not. It is what it is. I'm bummed. I'm a little disappointed. And so we all have the rocky road sometimes of, you know, how is the disclosure going to go? And I do think it's important to hear the ones that don't go well. I think it's very important to hear how many do go well. It is so important, because I think, especially if you're newly diagnosed, you don't realize that. And, like, I am telling you, your sex life is not over. You are still going to have amazing sex. You can have as many partners as you want. Like, it's not going to interrupt. I promise you. And it's amazing to hear those things, but I do think it's also good to hear this side of it so you are prepared for it, because it probably will happen. And, you know, the more you know,
the better you can handle it. So there is my sad little, we're not going to call it rejection, but rejection. And that's it. So I'm back. Look at us. Look at us, huh? Who would have thunk? We got another episode down. Yay. That's all for now. You guys have an amazing day. Be weirder than weird. Have safe sex. Educate yourself on stuff, but have lots of sex. Do it so I can live vicariously through you. And I love you, and I will see you next time. Oh, hey, by the way, don't go yet. I meant to say it, kind of said it in the beginning, but I want to make sure you know there's going to be a whole bunch of resources in my show notes. I'm going to tag a couple pages on Instagram that I really like for educational purposes with herpes, you know, talking about living and dating with it, as well as like just really good education, as well as some of my previous episodes where I discuss the first time I was diagnosed and how I date with it. I also talk about cold sores, which, what's that you say? Cold sores is herpes and herpes is cold sores. That's right. There's an episode about that. I have an episode where I actually relate herpes and OnlyFans together because they both are weighed down with so many stigmas. So I've got a handful of episodes that I'm going to post down in the show notes. So if you want to educate yourself or entertain yourself, because bitches, I'm entertaining, right? Am I? I don't know if I am. I like to think I am. I laugh. I don't know. Anyways, yeah. Anyways, that's it. Now you can go. Love you. Bye.